The score and the algorithm behind it that controls a big part of your financial life. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Remember that series of TV ads featuring hipster musicians with bad credit that ran from about 2007 to 2010?
I was getting depressed because of all the stress I was feeling at home. Had a poor credit score and the number would haunt me wherever I go.
The idea was to get consumers to regularly check their credit score, for a fee, of course. Your credit score is a number from the 300s to the mid-800s, and you probably have several of them. Lenders use these scores to determine how risky it is to give you a loan or offer you some other kind of financial product. And these scores are the output of algorithms, which pull data from credit reporting agencies like Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion about how you manage debt.
When your debt goes up, your score goes down. When you pay a little off, it goes the other way around.
But the algorithm isn't quite that simple and may not rely just on how good you are with money. So here on Marketplace Tech, we're going to spend the next couple of weeks digging deep into credit scores and these algorithms that control so much of our financial lives. For example, your score can help determine where you live.
It got me a better rate when I bought my house, so it cost me less money to live.
Laura Erickson is a retired academic advisor in Edina, Minnesota, just outside Minneapolis. She bought her house in 1998 and refinanced in 2002.
And I'm able to live in a nicer neighborhood than I would if I'd had a higher interest rate and had to spend less money on a house.
Even though she's pretty settled and comfortable in her life, no plans for any big purchases coming up, Erickson says she stays on top of her numbers, securely in the 780s, because they affect other parts of her life as well.
I just watch my credit scores because it affects my rate on my insurance. Car and auto insurance, you get the best rate if you have a good score.
And to get a good score, say the upper 700s or higher, you need a good history with those credit reporting agencies, which track your credit cards and loans, and most importantly, whether you pay your bills on time. And all that data goes into the algorithm.
A highly predictive algorithm. It's one we develop from millions of anonymized credit reports.
Ethan Dornhelm is a vice president in the Scores and Predictive Analytics Unit at FICO, the company behind the main credit scoring model used by most lenders.
And we take this algorithm and deploy it at the credit bureaus, and that is actually where your FICO score is calculated.
Dornhelm says even though the idea of an algorithm may sound complex, the folks at FICO try to keep it simple.
If I had a consumer's credit report in front of me, I could actually calculate their FICO score by hand within 10 minutes or so.
The algorithm looks at historical information about a person's credit and spending habits, says Manchu Puri, a finance professor at the Fuqua School of Business at Duke University.
That will be information such as what are the past loans that you took out, you know, the credit cards, your lines, were you late, did you default? You know, all this information is taken in and packaged into a credit bureau score.
In addition to FICO scores, there are other credit scoring models, such as the Vantage Score, plus individual banks and lenders often have their own teams of data scientists, all pulling from the data credit bureaus have about you, but using their own algorithms to create their own scores.
The whole access to formal credit markets, that has typically relied on having a credit bureau score, right? And so people who have thin credit histories or thin credit files, they have trouble, right, getting a mortgage or other things because you don't have a score.
And that can create or exacerbate economic inequality, sometimes blocking people from accessing financial tools to build wealth. Plus, some question if our financial lives should be so tied to a backwards-looking algorithm.
Whether or not you paid a bill on time 5 years ago may not be that predictive in whether or not you're going to pay back a loan going forward.
Aaron Klein is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.
Most people who fail to pay back a loan do so because of an exigent circumstance, like a medical catastrophe, a death in the family, a divorce, or a job loss. These things are not necessarily well modeled by whether or not you were late on a bill in the past.
Plus, Klein is concerned about credit scores and algorithms designed around your ability to pay back a debt creeping into other parts of our lives.
Look, my car insurance rate was lowered despite a less than stellar driving record because I had good credit.
Just like retired homeowner Laura Erickson in Minnesota, who, while she's proud of her score, says she feels weird when it comes with a value judgment.
When I went to do a refinance on my house several years ago, and the mortgage broker complimented me on my high score. And I was like, okay, you know, you don't know what to do with it. It's like, okay, I guess I'll get a good rate.
And she did. But the system doesn't work quite as well for everyone. On our next show, we'll look at some of the problems with these algorithms and what happens when the numbers don't quite work out right. And now for some related links. Of course, we will have plenty of resources about credit scores and algorithms on our website, marketplacetech.org. But if what you really want to know is what happened to the band from those nostalgic free credit report ads, the gaming YouTube channel Shameless Nerd has an 8.5-minute video tracing the story of the ads and what happened to the musicians involved. It's actually a pretty wild story. As for the company involved, well, let's just say there were a lot of lawsuits and government investigations. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.